Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington, working on this program very much. Here are some of the top stories making news across South Sudan this Monday, February 23rd, 2022. A lawmaker in South Sudan's Legislative Assembly says members of parliament face challenges.
The first issue was to do with this law implementation of the agreement in the context of the parliament, not in generally, because some people have been saying that there are particular parties who are supposed to do it.
And the head of the Committee for Economic Reforms at the National Legislative Assembly says his team is making progress on financial issues.
Whether education, health and clean water, because the role of the government is to avail security and services in form of roads.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. A member of parliament representing Tribate County at the National Legislative Assembly says there is no freedom of speech at the assembly. Joel Nomongek Daniel says members of the national security are visible at the premises of the assembly and at times harass members of the parliament. Daniel says the National Assembly has many challenges.
The first issue was to do with this law implementation of the agreement. In the context of the parliament, not in generally, because some people have been saying that there are particular parties who are supposed to do it. But we are concerned within the parliament. The parliament was reconstituted in August 2021. But it is stayed, the head of a specialized committee is stayed until 2022 when they were reconstituted.
Delays from the other parties is not the problem of the leadership of the assembly. I mean, you should blame the other parties instead of the leadership of the assembly.
It is simply when we are given a duty like now, I can keep quiet in the assembly because I have a right to keep quiet and I have a right to subguide my duties as an MP. A national assembly has the leadership and leadership has a duty to the people. When other parties are delay is supposed to summon them and said, I have given you a given period. You cannot leave it open indefinitely. And people are suffering. They are looking to the parliament as an alternative to other bodies in South Sudan because the parliament is placed in a strategic position where they can talk on behalf of the people and they can be listened to. They can even call the executive. They have those powers. So you cannot say that it is the other, because in government there is coordination. As when you are in a certain position and you know you have a duty, you have to follow.
It appears like the National Legislative Assembly has its own issues. Yesterday when I spoke to the head of the Committee on Information, he said your press conference was illegal, that you did not inform the leadership of the assembly. How would you react to that?
Okay, that is just a symbol, is aside. They have not understood their duties and the law governing the assembly. Article 77 of our constitution is very clear. A member of assembly does not need to seek for clarification or permission from the leadership of the assembly. The one who was speaking is the head of a specialized committee on communication. He's dealing with the ministry. It does not deal with issues of national parliament. It will only deal with issues of assembly business committee when they have met and said he can communicate the position of parliament as a leadership, not the position of MPs, because the MPs do not have opportunity and the law allows them as a part of their duty function, because they are supposed to play three roles, representing people, playing oversight role, and then lawmaking. These roles are particular to individual MP who has been appointed to represent a given area.
The national security officer embedded at the National Legislative Assembly came and grabbed microphones in front of you and took journalists to his office for interrogation. And you were quiet. Why didn't you talk about that?
We followed up until we went to the office of national security. We sat there and we waited until they were released. We were going to make a statement if they were not released. And we are still now preparing maybe this coming week to release condemning the arrest of journalists officially. That was the reason we were in the National Security Office, the Political Affairs Division, sitting there, and we demanded that we need to see the one in charge of political affairs. We were going to know why should they arrest the journalist, and we're the one who called the journalist. Based on our power in constitution, we don't need to seek the assembly business committee or the leadership assembly to give us permission. That is out of law.
Honorable Daniel, it looks like from the statement you released, which you were supposed to talk about yesterday, there were several issues you mentioned there. You also mentioned that you want the parliament, you want the South Sudan Broadcasting Corporation, which is the government-owned media, to cover the assembly proceedings live. Why would you want the proceedings to be live on TV?
My understanding of politics is always like this. Politics is not between politician and politician to convince themselves. Politics is about the people. The people should know what the parliament is and the government is doing. That is the meaning of politics. When we talk among ourselves in the parliament, and the people who are not even understanding, is the source of insecurity alone. The army are suffering. They don't have income. We are talking about them and they are not being implemented. We are supposed to make it open to the national media so that they understand that the MPs are not keeping quiet.
And talk to me a little bit about freedom of speech in the National Legislative Assembly. It appears like people are afraid to speak on issues that you are deliberating here.
There is a high level of intimidation and high level of restriction of freedom of speech in the assembly. Members of national security are deployed everywhere in the assembly, and particularly the members of the SPLMIO, where I'm coming from, they are free to speak. And we are grateful to our leader because he's saying that that was the reason we were taken to the assembly to talk on issues of the people. So that is not a problem. The problem is coming to the side of the SPLM. They don't even speak. They work together and in silence. When they are talking, I was mobilizing them to come up with these issues, to address these issues, why we are keeping quiet. They were saying that their names should not be forwarded, they will be revoked from the parliament.
What other issues are there? Can you be brief? Because time is not on our side.
The members have been struggling, like they have been footing from home coming to the National Assembly. Their welfare is not taken care of by the leadership. When they talk, they are intimidated. That is one. Second, another one, there is no coordination in the assembly. The leadership is not working in coordination itself, leave the ordinary members. The leadership, what we call ABC, the head of specialized committees, are not connected to the speaker to address the issues of the country as a group and to deal with and to coordinate with the members of, I mean, with the ordinary members of the parliament. That is another issue. Another issue is that the resources are limited completely, which is connected to the welfare of the members. In the assembly, you will see the resources are not there. When there is the official trip outside or where, you get resources being approved. But to the members of National Assembly, there are no resources.
That is Joel Nomangek Daniel, Member of Parliament representing Chwabet County at the National Legislative Assembly. He was speaking with me from Juba earlier today. Ghana is normally seen as a beacon of press freedom in West Africa, where governments keep a tight control on the media. But press freedom advocates note an alarming surge recently in arrests and assaults on journalists. Ken Mensah has more from Accra.
Activists are raising questions as to whether Ghana is returning to the days where criminal libel laws were used to suppress free speech. Two journalists were arrested last month after alleging the First Lady acquired state land to build a personal home. Another was arrested after accusing the president of influencing the decisions of judges in electoral petitions. All three were accused of publishing fake news, and they could face time in prison if convicted. Suleiman Abraima, the executive director of Media Foundation for West Africa, tells VOA the state is hiding behind the police to criminalize free speech.
I don't think that if the president is fundamentally opposed to something, it would happen, unless, of course, he is constrained or restrained by law. I believe that criminalizing speech and in the manner that we are seeing it is fundamentally detrimental to our democracy.
Brahma says the government should give greater powers to the National Media Commission. the agency tasked to regulate and monitor the media if it wants to assert more control of the airwaves.
I think as a country, we need to revisit that conversation about empowering the National Media Commission. The other thing is about the broadcasting law. 2 decades on, we have been talking. It's been back and forth. I think that if the government is indeed interested in sanitizing the airwaves, what we must be seeing is a very committed, strong effort at getting the broadcasting law passed so that at least people would know that, look, we have to operate within a certain confines.
Palgrave Bwachidankwa, a government spokesperson on security and governance, tells VOA News the state sees the media as a partner in development and will never criminalize free speech. But he adds officials are concerned about the abuse of freedom of expression in the media. He says the journalists who accused the president and his wife of wrongdoing had no evidence.
It's clearly the rule of law that is working. It's quite unfortunate that people are abusing the freedom of speech, which as a government we are concerned about. And as a government as well, we are not trampling upon the freedom of people.
He said the media should operate without fear or favor. But he said reporters must be responsible in their reporting.
The president is very confident with freedom of speech, supports freedom of speech, encourages Ghanaians to have constructive criticism of government. I think that if you're against government, there's a civil way to go about it.
Police did not respond to requests to comment on the recent arrest of media personalities. Kent Mensah for VOA News, Accra, Ghana.
This week marks 2 years of the formation of the Government of National Unity in South Sudan. Some South Sudanese say very little has been achieved to restore peace and stability in the country. Some residents of Yei say they still live in fear because the parties that signed the 2018 peace agreement have done very little in implementing the deal. Wake Simon Wudu reports from Juba.
Despite progress made on some provisions, many South Sudanese say key parts of the peace deal have not been implemented. 52-year-old Yei resident Hawa Adam says 2 years after the unity government was formed, she expected several key provisions of the deal would have been implemented, including graduation of the unified forces who are primarily responsible for restoring stability. The mother of four says she also expected the IDPs and refugees would have returned to their homes by now.
Up to now, the truth about my country is not yet reliable. Yeah, what I'm saying is not reliable because here and there you can find that today the country is safe. After 2 to 3 weeks, again, there's the displacement. You find that people are running up and down.
Adam says in Yei she still fears to move freely the way she used to before the outbreak of the conflict. She says the little food farmers produce in villages do not easily make it to markets in Juba because the conditions for people to travel between Yei and Juba are hard due to insecurity.
I cannot go very far because of fear, and when you go, either you'll be safe, either you'll not be safe. So that is our fear, more especially women. And even in some of the youth, even some of the men, up to now, some other things are happening that really is even making people to fear moving freely in Yei River County. Anyway, people are moving, but when you move, you can move at your own risk.
Adam says she wants the regional and international community to push South Sudan's leaders to do more to implement the peace deal. 60-year-old Reverend Peter Chual Gwar says he has lived in an internally displaced persons camp in Juba since he fled his home at the end of 2013 when the conflict first broke out. Gwar says although the unity government was formed 2 years ago, he is still afraid of leaving the camp. He says his plot of land and house were grabbed by someone else and his efforts to reclaim the plot have been unsuccessful.
We are still in IDP camp for a reason. If you come out, the peace is not yet fully implemented and we came from different states in South Sudan. And if you come out, some of us, they lose their houses, they lose their jobs, they lose hope because there are nowhere to go. That's why we are still inside the UN camp.
Gwar wants to see the parties to the agreement hold a graduation for the unified forces and deploy them to improve the security across the country.
Now we are just inside the prison. You cannot go to Yei on footing. You cannot go to Malakal or you go to Western Bahr al Ghazal. You cannot reach that place. If you try to go, you can die on the road. Then please to tell them that you implement and relieve the confinement of graduating them. After that, we can remain free.
South Sudan Cabinet Affairs Minister Martin Elia Lomro blames a lack of resources and international support for the delay in implementing the peace deal, but insists the government is working to ensure the full implementation of the deal.
We have real challenges. Now, with the reform we are doing, we are realizing some changes. We are realizing benefits, as I explained earlier on. Now, we, as I said, we paid $81 million during the NPTC period and $40 million during NTC period. That's $121 million paid by the government of South Sudan.
Professor Abraham Kuala Nyuan of the College of Political Science at the University of Juba says while he recognizes the efforts being made by the parties to implement some provisions of the deal, including building trust, he says much more needs to be done. He says more triggers are required to push forward the implementation of the deal.
The only spirit that I think these parties need to avoid is the issue of encouraging counter-defection and declaration of defection from party to party as we are nearing the end of the transitional period. Because this thing is going to create mostly aggression against other party, and it will lead people to go back to square one, where other people will be seen as enemies and other people will be seen as the angels that need to be promoted and need to be united.
Yesterday, a delegation from the African Union visiting South Sudan encouraged all parties to the peace deal to move forward on implementing the remaining key provisions of the agreement. For VOA News, I'm Waki Simon Wudu in Juba.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. The head of the Financial Committee at the National Legislative Assembly says the government has recorded progress in ensuring transparency as part of the financial management reforms stipulated in the revitalized peace agreement. South Sudan's Roads and Bridges Minister says the implementation of Chapter 4 on financial reforms is going on well. David Monodanga has more for VOA from Juba.
Chapter 4 of the Revitalized Peace Agreement on the Resolution of Conflict in South Sudan provides for economic and financial management reforms to achieve transparency on management of oil revenues from oil and non-oil revenue collections. It also provides for revenue allocation to all levels of government and establishes effective procurement and payroll systems, the granting of public concessions, public borrowing and debt management. Some government officials assert the government has recorded remarkable progress in implementing public finance management reforms. South Sudan Roads and Bridges Minister Simon Mijok Mijak says implementing financial institutional reforms as stipulated in Chapter 4 of the peace agreement will impact service delivery in a positive way.
Whether education, health and clean water, because the role of the government is to avail security and services in form of roads, health, education and clean water. The rest is the role of the citizen. To do his or her best to produce so that our finances increase and the prosperity is felt by every citizen in the country.
Mijak says although the country's economy has improved greatly in recent months, the government is targeting more improvements because South Sudan has resources to boost its economy. Chankwath Bichokreth, chairperson of the Finance and Economic Planning Committee of the Transitional National Legislative Assembly, says revenue collection has improved as a result of financial management reforms.
I've called the Minister of Finance, and it was transparent to tell exactly what they've gone through. Then after presenting the budget, they gave us the detail of the budget. And at the same time also, I summoned the Commissioner General of the National Revenue Authority, which he also gave us the documentation on the collection they are making. Because every 2 weeks, they remit what they collect from the 1st to 15th. and then on the 16th, 1st to 15th, and on the 16th, they always remit what they've collected, and they publish it.
Reth says the entire process has shown a remarkable level of transparency.
I have the copies of all the collection that they have done, which is a bit transparent. The same thing to Petroleum. I called the Minister of Petroleum, and he came and gave us the report of the production that they are doing in daily basis from last January 2021 until March 2022. So it seemed like there's a transparency of Nile Blend, which is the oil in Unity State, and then also the oil in Paloch or Adar. We also have the details of the collection there. It seemed like the country is picking up.
Under the peace deal, the National Audit Chamber shall audit and report all public funds and financial dealings to relevant institutions, including Parliament. It also provides that the government reforms South Sudan's existing economic and public sector financial management to ensure that management of oil and non-oil revenues, payroll, the exchange rate, borrowing, and other areas of financial management are transparent and accountable, free of corruption, and compliant with international best practices. The agreement also stipulates resources are to be allocated in a way that ensures every citizen benefits. On Tuesday, the reconstituted Joint Monitoring and Evaluation Commission said in a statement at the two-year mark of the transitional period, public financial management reforms remain largely undone. For VOA News, I am David Monodanga in Juba.
Authorities in Jonglei State are calling on communities in Ayot, Nyerol, and Urur counties to cease hostilities in the area. The Jonglei State Minister for Local Government and Law Enforcement says fighting raged throughout the weekend, adding that the security situation remains tense as the state government engages the communities to cease hostilities. Dengai Deng reports for VOA from Juba.
The Jonglei State Minister for Local Government and Law Enforcement, Simon Holt, says the fighting broke out on Friday when a group of armed young men from Ayot and Nyerol counties attacked a cattle camp in Urur County, leaving 16 people dead.
The gangs are criminal. They gang themselves, those from Urur County and Nyerol County. Those youth took that very deadly incident. They went into the Ayot side. When they reached in the morning at 4, and then they just kill everybody, like six women, and then two children, and then 4 men. They die on the spot. And they took the cattle. On that same time, the criminal, 4 of them were killed.
Hoth says the fighting raged throughout the weekend. He is urging the communities where the violence took place to cease hostilities and allow law enforcement agencies to arrest the perpetrators.
My message to the community, which is my community, all of them, they must refrain from the criminality. It is not the way people can live. If they want the services, if they want the development, they must refrain from the criminality. Go and kill your brothers and sisters randomly because you need cows. No, that's not. That is ridiculous. We condemn it in good terms. They have been the brothers and sisters, those Ayud and those of Nyerol and Urur. They were brothers. What happened now?
Minister Hoth says state authorities are focusing on how to end the intercommunal conflict between communities in Jonglei and the Greater Pibor administrative area. He says the ongoing fighting between the communities from Ayot, Nyerol and Urur counties is a setback and might derail the efforts to restore peace in the area. Hoth says he will lead a delegation to Ayot County tomorrow to deliver condolence messages from Governor Dine Jok Chagur and to urge the communities to cease hostilities.
Our visit tomorrow, it was just coordinated by the governor and UN to go and see and take the message of the governor for condolences for the loss in one. That's it. Then people will gather again for the meeting for three counties on how we can tackle the criminals on that side. Now, they have drive everything back, because we have a peace with those of people, which are now we are just going on talking about youth to don't go to people, and then let us talk about it. Yet they are still fighting themselves alone in that side. That way there's no meaning for you guys.
Uroar County Commissioner Tang Chatim says authorities in his area have apprehended at least 4 suspects involved in their violence.
One, we agree that the criminal, all the criminals in both sides, from Gawara and Law, if we get any criminal or thief, we have go and raid the cattle from other side. Actually, when I left Palwan, I went to Pakaram Payam in Uroar County. They agreed that, Honorable Commissioner, we hand over all the seats. The criminal will be given to you. If you got anybody, take him with you. So I start my duty. I captured almost 4 criminals from them, and I give them with me to Rosati headquarters, and now they are in custody in UI headquarters, with UI town.
In recent years, Jonglei State has experienced waves of intercommunal violence, mainly fueled by revenge attacks, cattle raiding, and robberies. For VOA News, I am Deng Gaideng in Bor, Jonglei State.
A team of 9 Chinese doctors arrived in Lake State capital Rumbek to offer free treatment to patients. The doctors plan to spend 2 days at the Kir Mayardit Hospital and a day at the Rumbek State Hospital treating various diseases. The head of the group says the Chinese doctors are in South Sudan to offer services to communities in remote areas. William Sande Mabor has this report for VOA from Rumbek.
The Chinese doctors began treating patients in Rumbek this morning. Dr. Ding Zhen, who heads the medical team, says the Chinese embassy in Juba arranged the mission with the South Sudan's health ministry. He says the turnout at their first stop, the Kir Mayardit Women's Hospital, is larger than expected.
We are being sent here to work maybe for several days. We don't know the exact number we will treat, but the number of people waiting here is more than our expectation, you know. But we will try our best to help.
Dr. Zin says the Chinese medical team in Rumbek includes several specialists who will perform general examinations of patients and some operations where necessary. He says they will also treat diseases such as malaria, typhoid, hepatitis B, hypertension, asthma, diabetes, and ulcers.
We have gynecologists, we have CT technician, we have lab technician, we have surgeon, we have physician, we have dermatologist, we have ENT, we have Chinese traditional medicine. We have the doctor working here. We are not only to prescribe medicine for the patient, we are also help the patient to diagnose. We will do some operations. We will use the traditional way, Chinese traditional way, to treat the patient.
Dr. Teran Madin Teran, medical director at Rumbek State Hospital, says Lake State residents will benefit from the team's visit, and says the Chinese doctors have come at the right time when there is critical need for medical services.
And we really acknowledge and appreciate the effort and the work people of China are doing to us. As you know that they came as a full team composed of so many departments. So in these 3 days, they will have to with us in the state here. I do believe that they will see a lot of people and they will help a lot of people.
Dr. Teran says his hospital lacks specialists and is asking the Chinese doctors to spend more than 3 days as scheduled to provide services in Lagos State. John Ashville Paul, a representative of Lagos State Health Ministry, also expressed appreciation for the Chinese government's help. He says many South Sudanese are suffering from different diseases.
People of China, with the heart that they have in South Sudan, to help us. We are happy that you appear today at the real time of need. Kir Mayardit Hospital has been down for over 6 months or more for many reasons. But today, the community and the government of Lagos State is happy and is delighted to have seen a bit of move by the Chinese people.
This is the first time Chinese doctors are providing free medical services in Lagos State. For VOA News, I am William Sande Mabur in Rumbek, Lagos State.
That's all we prepared for you this Wednesday. I'm John Townsend, Washington. Thanks for taking time to be with us this evening. Remember to always wash your hands with soap, practice social distancing, and wear a mask when you're in public places to protect you and others from getting COVID-19. Do not escape from COVID-19 quarantine centers because there's no cure for coronavirus. Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.